But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app. Now, back to
Will and Bibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phones here in just a second. It's a Victory Monday. This is what we do and how we roll. And it is not just the Niners. It is a huge and awesome game. A Draymond night-night Warrior win. And a Buster Posey win. Willie Adames is a San Francisco Giant. And so there's a lot to say throughout the day. We'll get to all of it. But we've got this development.
Oh.
Dan Dibley.
It's a developing story?
Well, I don't want Grandy to hit the thingamabob, but you could do that. Exactly. Do that. It's not actually breaking news, but it's breaking, and it's worth our time, and it lives on the Twitter feed of Deebo Samuel. Deebo. What do you make of this?
I'm sure he's going after a long snapper or a holder, what he does.
That'd be amazing. 12 minutes ago, Deebo Samuel wrote, not struggling at all, just not getting the ball. Followed by seven exclamation points and a shruggy emoji.
Ooh, the shruggy.
Now, there's a follow-up tweet, but let's go station to station here. And first just react to that. Not struggling at all, just not getting the ball. I don't think that this is a wonderful thing to tweet at all.
No. Two catches for 22.
Well, look.
He did have three targets.
It's impossible to say stuff like that and not have it feel like you are either firing at teammates or play callers. This is what wide receivers do, and I am quickly becoming somebody who suffers from wide receiverism. I really don't want to. I don't think this about all of them. There are plenty of good ones who have heads screwed on straight, but my gosh, often it seems few and far between because they are complementary pieces who can't have the ball unless somebody calls them up, schemes them up, delivers them up. Because they can't do that, I think they are often prone to this kind of behavior, which is even after a win, if their stats, because A.J. Brown did this yesterday too. The Eagles won their ninth straight game. He threw a helmet. And then in that locker room, they asked him, what is this team need to do better? He had one word. Want to know what his word was?
Me.
Passing. He didn't say the passing game. He didn't say receiving. He just said passing. And we know that A.J. Brown has had issues with Jalen Hurts and that they argue on the sidelines a lot. And I would just say to AJ, I don't know if you're right or wrong, but you just won your ninth straight game. Shut up.
Well, Brock Purdy went 20 for 25 for 3.25
Thank
and two.
You.
Quarterback rating of 145. You snapped a three-game losing skid, and you go to Twitter, and you talk about not getting the ball enough. And I watched the game twice, as I always do. And the first time through, I had my eyes on Deebo especially, because of Prize Picks. I was on the over.
Mm.
Over on Deebo catches at 4.5.
Ouch.
Not even close. But it was one of those that, like,
it was an
whatever.
Ottoman game in the other way.
Exactly. So when you lose a bet, sometimes it's like, oh, this one's dead on arrival.
Oh, quick aside, just because you're talking about betting, I do want to let you know that we did put your pick out there.
Does it count?
That's a count. Count it.
Yes.
You're back to 500, but we figured out how to get you back to 500. You have to not be here.
Ah, darn it.
So
maybe I'll go home early again today.
Yeah, well, you got to make a pick again tonight. It's Monday night. Da, 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 da. Okay, follow-up tweet, and then let's keep reacting.
Okay.
Deebo, clearly for 10 minutes, sees the whoop, 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 all the reactions to his tweet.
Did he delete or
he
just
did
follow
not delete.
Up? Okay.
He followed up.
I admire that.
I'm going to add a word because he left one out. I know what he means. He left a word out. Just because I voice my opinions doesn't mean I'm hating on any of my teammates. Be for real.
Okay, now, what word did you add?
The word doesn't.
Okay.
Because he wrote, just because I voice my opinions mean I'm hating on any of my teammates.
Yeah. Okay. It reads the same.
Well, no. If you don't put doesn't in there, it means that he's essentially saying I am hating on my teammates.
It's a little bit of slang and jargon.
Yeah.
What I'm reading from that is he's mad at the laminated play sheet. And when I watched the game a second time this morning...
Oh, I don't read that way at all.
Oh, I do, because if you watch the game...
I think he's mad at us.
If you watch the game again, I'm sure he's mad at us, the fans and the media,
he's
whatever.
He's mad at the chatter.
Yes, like, again, but he's also mad, I think, at the fact that they are not designing plays for him. The plays they are designing for him are failed runs. And watch his three runs yesterday, and the third of which was absolutely bottled up immediately, and you can kind of see his shoulders dip and his head dip like... What am I even doing here? The only time you give me the ball is when I run right into the defense. It's not working for him.
Yeah, I took this as more him speaking to the speakers, right? Everybody, like, you hear it. We've been hearing it for 4 weeks. Debo's done. He's over the hill. He's lost a step. It doesn't work anymore. And I think that that's what he's speaking to. He may well be frustrated about his plays execution-wise, or the number of times his number gets called. I think that makes him a wide receiver in the NFL, so I don't find that concerning at all. Most wide receivers I've ever talked to always think they should be getting the ball more. I wonder how Justin Jefferson feels about Jordan Addison absolutely going off all month. I bet he actually has a feeling or two about it. Now, he went off yesterday, too, but you get my point. Like, that's just par for the course, but I think he's speaking to all the voices who are claiming that Debo is starting to be over the hill.
Yeah,
I think that's what's upsetting him the most.
I also do think that some of it is the play design. And
you might be right.
Brock Purdy threw 25 passes yesterday, and he had three thrown his way, and he caught two. And, you know, George Kittle was amazing, and so they were scheming up Kittle again and again and again and again because...
And Juwan.
Right. Well, first Kittle, because they couldn't stop him. So, yeah, that makes sense. But then when you go beyond the tight end and you go to Juwan first instead of Debo, to me, that's where... And he's not hating on Juwan.
No.
8 targets, 7 catches, Juwan, but...
He's also open a lot more.
Right.
He's open.
But why is he open? I think he's open because the play design is... more for Juwan, and Debo is more of the outlet
on a lot of routes. I think he's open more because that's what Juwan does. Debo is not a traditional wide receiver. We know this.
Right.
Right? Like, if you're in a zone or if you get caught looking the wrong way because Christian McCaffrey's running over there, Debo can be very, very dangerous. Debo, to me, is just about the word space. That's it. That's all Debo's about. And he's very, very good in space. He's good with the ball in his hands. He is an aggressive runner. He does not shy away from contact. He's fast. He can take the ball 80 yards for a score. He's got that ability. So the whole game for Debo and Kyle Shanahan is, how can we get him the ball in space? And this year they've done a bad job of it. Like, too often he gets the ball and there's no space.
Right.
And he doesn't create it on his own, though.
He doesn't, but when you play a team like Chicago that plays a lot of zone, and this is stuff for Greg Cosell tomorrow or Wednesday. We have Greg on, just to ask him about what he saw from the film, because what I was seeing, watching it again this morning, a lot of the play designs were for George and Juwan, not a lot of plays set up for Debo, and when you have a bear team that's not stopping you, Brock didn't have to get to his third read very often.
Not often. Steel Toe, San Mateo, hey, thank you for calling. You're on with Willard and Dibbs. What's cooking?
Thanks, fellas. Love the conversation. I wanted to get in on it because I feel like the head coach, Kyle Shanahan, is the one that's kind of messing up everybody's motivation and not giving them urgency because of his stale play calling. You know, everybody's been asking for more George Kittle, and then all of a sudden now he does it for the Chicago Bears. You know, and everybody now hears Debo, he's talking, because this play call sucks already. You need to just motivate everybody and maybe make Debo a little bit happy. How about one goal route? One goal route and just throw it deep for Debo.
Yeah, he's not good at it.
Something new, different.
He's not good at it. He's not. I mean, like, Steel Toe, I totally get what you're saying, but, like, this is how I look at it. I don't know if you look at it this way. But when we're talking about play calling in the NFL, it's very different than the NBA. And sometimes I hear people speak about NFL play calling the way that you run plays in the NBA. In other words, in the NBA, you can run a play for Steph. You can run a pick and roll with Kuminga. And you're like, that play is for him. There is some of that in the NFL, but less than we think. It's not just, hey, let's run a play for George. There's a lot of let's run a play, and then there are options within that play based on what the defense is doing, and that all gets kind of decided at the line of scrimmage. And then you go through progressions and find out what the defense is stopping and what they're not stopping, and you deliver the ball where the defense is not stopping you. So sometimes that means George, and he's a very, very good player. But if the defense is going to be hell-bent on taking him away, then you got to be ready to go to the next guy. You know what I mean?
Right, right. So the point is, what I'm trying to make, too, is the by throwing it deep sometimes, maybe the secondary will lay off of Debo, and maybe Debo will be open for more short passes. You throw the bomb to scare the secondary. They don't do anything to set him up. It's always just short passes, and then they're just there, like, ready for the short three-yard pass. It's the same thing last night. The reason why Buddy Hield went off, because they finally made another different play for Buddy Hield to do some layups first to feel that basket, and then all of a sudden the defense lay off of him, and then he's got more open threes, and he got hot. And then it's the coaches that is stale play calling, and changing it up needs to motivates them. That's the play that I think that's what works, and it's finally they're doing it now, and it's almost might be too late for the 49ers.
Yeah, it might be. Steeltoe, thanks very much. I don't know how you see it, Dibs. I see it a little bit differently than that. That sounds a little bit too, for my taste, it's almost like too targeted, as if when you start a play, you know exactly who it's going to go to and where. I also did not see yesterday as a dink and dunk short pass day.
No.
He had 20 completions for 325 yards. That's over 16 yards per completion.
Yeah, and he completed his first pass over 20 yards since week 8.
Yep.
And he had the deep throw to Juwan Jennings. He had a deep shot to Garendo as well. He took some shots down the field yesterday.
Yep, and the one to Pearsall where they weren't quite on the same page, but he was open, and they tried it. We're sponsored by the California Lottery. Debo speaks out. George says lack of urgency. What do you think? 888-957-9570. We continue chatting with you about the Niner win on Willard and Dibs.
I am ready to go.
It does not matter. I don't recall. I'm kind of lost right now.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
I don't know, man. This is not a big deal. I don't want to make it sound like a big deal. It is a deal, and I can put it on a list of what I feel this year is wide receiver behavior that was unnecessary. Wide receiver behavior that was unnecessary and counterproductive. Both of the 49ers starting receivers have participated this year. Brandon's was in the offseason. Debo Samuel, if you're just joining us, with his tweets over the last half hour. Again, not a big deal, but a deal. Quote, not struggling at all, just not getting the ball. Followed by, just because I voice my opinions doesn't mean I'm hating on any of my teammates. Be for real. Okay, counterproductive. That's your emotions being triggered, and then you going to Twitter to fight back. We've all done it, but you're Debo Samuel. AJ Brown this year calling out the passing attack of the Eagles in a 9-game win streak. Jamar Chase taking the Bengals on a preseason ride when it's not even extension time for him. I could go on and on. This is what happens at the wide receiver position especially, and it's why the bubble needs to burst. It's why the bubble needs to burst. Ephraim made an unbelievable point to me last night as we were sitting there talking football, and look around the league and the production of the high-priced receiver versus the disenfranchised running back who got kicked off of his old team. Look around the league.
Yeah.
It's stunning. It's stunning. Look at the running backs that somebody didn't want
I mean, Saquon Barkley and
J.K. Dobbins. Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, yeah. Aaron Jones. These guys are all on good teams.
Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon is another great example. They're all heading to the playoffs. Nobody wanted them. And here they are. At meantime, a lot of those guys were let go because somebody needed to give $27 million or more to somebody who's getting targeted four times an afternoon.
Yeah.
It's wild, man.
And even,
it's out of whack.
Even looking at this team here where, yeah, you gave Brandon Ayuk the money and you gave Debo a restructure, and all the while you had Jordan Mason come in and be one of the top rushers yep. early on in football, and now you've got Isaac Garendo off of his first start running the ball great. Funny that Debo says that about not getting the ball. I was just looking at his touches this year. 72 touches in 12 games, 6 touches a game. Last year he had 97 touches in 15 games, 6.5 touches a game. So you have a half a touch less per game.
Interesting.
And all of a sudden now?
Now it's a problem.
Now you're not getting the ball.
No, and that's my point. I think he's responding to the voices. And look, you're allowed to, and he's not the first and he won't be the last, but that, like, it so comes with the territory that I just think you're better off not responding to the voices who all think you've lost a step. By the way, I've been saying for weeks, I don't think he's lost a step. I think this yeah. is circumstantial, but when I see him run, he looks like Debo. He looks like Debo to me. He looked like Debo yesterday. The plays are not working as well. There are a lot of reasons for that. He's had some drops. Some of it is on him. Some of it's on the play calling, what have you. You know, there's just an ebb and flow to these things. It's not been a great year for a lot of Niners. He's one of them. Matt in Oakland next up here on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Matt. Thank you for the call.
Hey, how we doing, fellas?
What's up?
All right. So, bear with me and my ADHD as I go through my list. But when I was thinking about the whole lack of urgency thing, you know, my first blame is Kyle, right? But then that made me think, like, man, Kyle has been through so much mentally with all the losses he's had over the past 8 years of coaching, right? And for him to come back each year and usually have a successful team, I mean, we do got to give him his credit, you know? It's not easy to get that close over and over again and keep bouncing back. But, you know, we lost some of those Super Bowls and NFC Championship games. You know, he's blaming himself. You know, we got punts off the heel, all sorts of things. So I was going to start blaming Kyle, but which he's part of the problem. But he's also picked you so freaking much when you think about it. Moving on down, I think that just has a trickle effect on the players, right? We pretty much have had the same core with some minor changes over the past 4 or 5 years. But all these big time losses, I mean, they're heartbreaking and soul crushing, man. And sometimes you need a reality check to, we're all human. Sometimes you got to hit bottom, even when you've been towards the top, before you react again. But last thing, and thanks for being with me. When Kittle said that, I mean, he's been our best player this season, arguably.
Yep.
But he's saying that, right? And he's going, oh, you know, I look back at the 22 team and this and that. And my first thought is, well, Kittle, why weren't you being a leader? And why didn't you bring the urgency? If you're referencing how you saw urgency in other 49ers teams, and that wasn't happening in the beginning of the season, and you're one of our best players, and you're a veteran, why are you calling this out now?
Well,
I mean, not everything can fall on Shanahan's head.
But Matt, he's been playing so well. Like, how is it, again, I guess there's just, and Matt, thank you so much. There's a fundamental sort of core of this conversation that I keep hearing that we're having. And it's an interesting one, which is whether or not words can actually do that. And by the way, there may be a bunch of you who are joining right now who have not heard the Kittle commentary that he is referring to. So let's play that for you. Here's George Kittle after the game yesterday.
I think the message was, we need to play with more of a sense of urgency and play desperate, because you just haven't really sensed that. And like, I've been on teams where it felt like, was it 2 years ago, we were on an, however, like 8-9 game win streak, whatever that was. And it literally felt like every play, people were just scratching, clawing, and fighting for everything. And I'm not going to call anybody out. Like, we've all not taken a play off, but, like, you know, just not fought our hardest on every given play. And that was kind of the message. Like, guys, just put it all out there. Because we have the players, we have the playmakers, we have the play call, and we have everything to win games, but like we have to do it out of desperation. And when you're playing desperate and you're playing like, hey, if we don't win this game, our season potentially is over, that desperation fuels guys in different ways, and it's just how you take that and how you channel that energy. And I thought our guys did a great job of that today.
Okay, so like that's the comment, and then if the idea is, hey George, if you noticed that, why didn't you do something about it? And A, I don't know when he noticed it. Maybe you just started feeling that way after Green Bay and Buffalo.
Right.
Number one. But Number two, this whole concept of do something about it if you're a leader. You can say something. You can lead by example, which I'd argue George has been doing all year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's played really, really well. I have a hard time with this idea that either complacency can go away, a sense of urgency can be created, and all of that comes from people at the top using words. I just think, to me, it's a more intricate thing and a difficult to access thing than just having somebody tell you to go do it.
Well, it just depends on the construct of your team, and this Niner team has a bunch of young players. You've got rookies starting on both sides of the ball, and they've never been in any spot in the NFL where you get 13, 14 games into a season, and you realize now it's getting into the desperation portion of the program. So I do think that with younger players, you have to have a responsibility to say something and to help them through, whether it's Renardo Green and Dominic Pooney and Pearsall and Cowing and Garendo and all these other young players who you've been forced to play. It's up to you as a veteran to tell them early on how you have to comport yourself.
But don't you think they did that? Like, that's the other thing that I
see. Well, then why hasn't it, like...
Because that's not what does it. That's my point. My point is we do this a lot. We'll see something that we don't like, and we'll go, well, how come no one said anything? You don't know that they didn't. In fact, I almost think it's kind of crazy to think that they didn't. They're with each other every day. They are desperate. They are embarrassed. It is slipping away. It has been all bad. It's been this horrible season. And because of this comment, now we're under the impression that nobody said anything to anybody for 15 weeks?
Well, we know that somebody said something to somebody, and that's Debo Samuel said something to the kicker. We know that he said something.
I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that get said. But that's my...
Well, that got said. So we do know that.
That's my point. Like,
apparently that worked because he went out there and he made the game winner.
Apparently. And then he came out in his... Yeah. I mean, then he came out later and had another bad game. And by the way, the kick that he did make went in by a foot. You know what I mean? Like...
That's Kansas City if they count.
Yeah, they count.
Yep.
Chris in San Jose. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I had to take you guys off my speakerphone there. What's happening?
What's up, man?
Man. Hey, what's happening? Long time no talk. Yeah, this Debo stuff, you know, a lot of times when people are down and out or they're at their lowest, that's kind of when they start to show you their true colors, you know. And he's frustrated. I get it. But there is nothing in Debo Samuel this year, whether it's from a leadership standpoint off the field, his leadership and playmaking on the field, there is not a single aspect to Debo as a person or player that exemplifies leadership quality. So I'm not surprised that when he's not getting the ball and, you know, it's throw the long snapper and the kicker under and, oh, I'm not getting the ball and Dibbers just told you, you are getting the ball. Maybe you want to catch a few more passes and you don't want to run as much. I don't know, but Shanahan is trying to get you involved. So for him to, like, you know, and he has this podcast where he goes out there and he talks, and it's like, dude, you're a one-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro. You've been around 6-7 years. Like, you are not that guy that somehow, some way, it's been hyped up in his head that he is elite. He is a number one receiver when he's not. He's not big. He's not he's not elite in terms of quickness or speed, separation. His hands are average at best. Again, undersized. So, like, this notion that he needs to get the ball and, oh, I'm just, they're not working me in the gameplay. It's like, dude, you have issues with your own, like, game in general as a player. Like, you just don't. He's, you know what the joke I like to make? He's a wide receiver who can't play out wide or receive. He's a gadget guy, so he lives on the fringe. When all those blockers aren't out in front of you, you know, hitting everything just perfectly, and now I know he can run through a guy every once in a while, but in reality, it's the scheme. It's everybody blocking all that open space, and there's another a counterpoint to that where, yes, teams know that you do have a limited route tree. You want to, we want to get you the ball at or around the line of scrimmage, and then you go do the rest. Because guess what? You don't run good routes, dude. Period.
Well,
so, I think.
Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, I think, I don't know if he's coming back next year. I don't know what the deal is, but when can we get some transparent discipline? I know these are grown men, right? But we need, I mean, strip the man, take the C off his chest. He's not a captain. Anybody who played varsity level sports in high school knows this guy's not a leader.
Well, to me, and thank you, Chris, to me, who is the leader is not for those outside of the group to,
I agree with that.
To assess. I have no idea who's in that locker room getting everybody going.
Well, and he's the leader of the wide receivers, and so what are your other choices?
The elder statesman there, sure.
You got Conley and Cowing and Pearsall.
Juwan's got some interesting leadership qualities.
Debo's got more juice.
Yeah, of course he does. Like Chris mentions, like for some reason he thinks this and that. He thinks he's elite. I can tell you a bunch of reasons why he thinks he's elite. Number one, he's had a 1,300-yard season in this league. Number two, he's paid like an elite receiver. Number three, his name value is that of an elite receiver. Number four, he's a receiver. They're like 70% of receivers, it feels like, are teenagers. They never think that they're accountable for anything. It's funny that we always use that word for head coaches. I hear head coaches around the league take accountability more than wide receivers all the time. But wide receivers, because of the intricacies of their position, they cannot have the ball unless a bunch of things go right on a given play. A great player is involved in terms of the ball in 10 plays a week.
Yeah, I was going to say eight to 10, you're right.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And a lot has to go right, and someone needs to deliver it to you, and it's just set up for you to not think it's your fault. If you don't get the ball. And there's probably some truth to that.
Yeah.
You need blocking. You need a QB. You need to get open.
You need the QB to decide to throw it to you.
The timing, right? All of that stuff.
I'm looking at the Garendo wheel route that he ran, and Brock threw that like almost a Hail Mary. He teardropped it. I'm looking at the play right now. It was a three-man formation to the left, and the play looked to be designed to go to Debo. And I'm looking at here, and Debo's open by 10 yards. And he's turning, and you know he's expecting the ball, and Brock sees man-to-man coverage, Garendo on a linebacker, and so he shoots a shot. It's all he's got.
And he got it.
And he got it.
Nailed
a little
it.
Bit of an underthrow, but good enough to connect, and Garendo goes down to the one-yard line. And I'm sure those are the kinds of plays where Debo is happy that the team did well and they gained yards, but that's a play where Debo's thinking, I'm open.
Maybe.
Throw me the ball.
Yeah, but if you're going to get all the way to the 1 yard line, that's always the right choice. Like I look at it this way. There is, in fact, a wide receiver I can think of right now who, here's the marker. When someone else scores a touchdown, even if you're open, how does the receiver react?
Yeah.
Do they run over to their teammates? Do they celebrate? Are they pumping their fist just as hard when someone else gets the touchdown as opposed to when they do? And there are a couple of receivers who pout even when their team has a positive play if it wasn't them. First name that comes to mind, George Pickens. This guy fits absolutely right into what we're talking about. He has spent the better part of his career in Pittsburgh screaming at people on the sideline, complaining from what I'm told behind the scenes. He's finally calmed down enough to where he is becoming a positive influence on his team. But it took him a while. It took him 3-4 years. And in fact, he's still getting bad quotes. You know, after that game that they lost to Cleveland in the snow a couple of weeks ago, he came out in the locker room and said some things that were very counterproductive to what the team's doing, and the team's in the middle of a special year. This is not inherent, because they're not all cut this way, but a lot of wide receivers, this is part of the position. The way the position works, it lends itself to guys thinking a little bit too much about themselves. That's what I see.
You can only make an impact in two ways as a receiver, catching it and blocking. And if you're not being asked to block on a certain play, then you're just out there trying to catch the ball and do your thing. And I know that Debo's been, obviously, based on his tweet, he's been hearing the chatter from the fans or the media or whoever. And so I'm sure he wanted to go out against a Chicago team playing a lot of zone. Debo's great against the zone. He's thinking, this is my day to eat. And I'm just looking at that Garendo play. And as you were describing George Pickens, you don't see Debo run down the field to give an attaboy to Garendo. Next thing you know, they're going to a two tight end set, and then they punch it in for the touchdown. But you don't see Debo over there in a congratulatory pose. I didn't look at the all 22 to see if he did or he didn't.
Well,
but
if he's getting pulled off the field, then that's an excuse. I mean,
sure,
that's on the far side of the field. Right.
That was on the Bears sideline.
Like, don't get, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to
run
down.
Don't get 12 men on the field just because you want to high five a guy.
It's time to get off the field.
I get that, but it's something I think to watch because, you know, when you have a game like that and Kittle does what Kittle does, and he's going to the Hall of Fame, and then Juwan Jennings continues to eat, and you're out there with three targets and two catches, and the caller was talking about him not being a good route runner, and he's okay. I was looking at his first catch earlier. He runs that deep in, and he gets open, and he comes back to the football. It's a great route.
Yep. By the way, he wasn't that open. Like, he got open-ish. And
well, he came back to the ball,
which was a great play. Yeah. Yes, because Brock put it where only he could get it, but you had to come back to it.
Yep.
And he did. I'll give you this example, though. Like, to me, Juwan, from what we have seen from him, and maybe his stardom hasn't fully formed yet, but Juwan Jennings, to me, is one of the exceptions to what we're talking about with wide receivers. He has had wonderful individual days and been ticked off if they lose the football game. He is all about the team winning the game. And you don't get that with every wide receiver, especially some of the stars. Next up is Raymond in Richmond. Hi, Raymond. Thank you for the call.
Willie Dibbs, what's up with the goats of 95.7, man?
Hey, what's
what
up?
What is cooking?
I just want to say I feel like everybody's coming down Shanahan's road saying he should be motivating this team to do better and play better. But since when is winning a ring not been motivation? Since when has your multi-million dollar contract not been motivation? Like, this is on the players. Yes, Shanahan makes mistakes a lot, but come on. At the end of the day, he's not the one on the field. And Debo need to take those Twitter fingers and use them to catch a ball. Because Dibbs, you should have known better than to bet on him over 4.5 catches, because he catches about 1 out of every 5. That's all I got to say. Love you guys. Have a good day.
Raymond, thank you for the call.
I thought,
what the hell were you thinking, Dibs?
A team that plays a lot of zone. Yeah. And
that makes sense.
As I said in my pick, fade the dimmer. I really liked the Niners. That was actually my most confident pick of the week. I thought that they would be motivated, and Chicago, a team coming in reeling a little bit after three really tough losses.
Totally.
Niners out of bad weather in a spot where you're going up against a defense that's good. They're fine.
Their pass defense is solid, yes.
Their pass defense, though, they play a lot of zone, and that's where Debo should be able to feast, but that damn Kittle was open so often.
That damn George.
You know?
And then that damn Juwan.
Yeah.
And then I also just think the other thing, that the mistake that we often collectively make is that we think these teams are they are one thing and they're supposed to look that way every week. Nobody does that. I guess maybe the Chiefs. But even they, their result is the same every week. But I'd argue that tucked into that are at least enough mistakes that could get them beat every week. It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. But as you all know, it's been razor thin at least 5 or 6 times in a season that is now 12-1. And they deserve some credit for that. They make big plays in the end. There's no questioning that. But Buffalo, for me, is the example of the day. What the hell is that? You beat Kansas City, you embarrass the 49ers in the snow, you're humming in a spot where, like, if the Chiefs blink one time, you can take home field advantage in the AFC. And you head out to SoFi Stadium and give up a 44 burger to the Rams, and you're trailing by double digits for most of the game? I get it, because that's football. But so much of this is the moment, the situation.
The spot, yeah.
Right? The spot. What's going on with that team? What's going on with this team? Who's feeling the sense of urgency? Who's playing with desperation? What about the X's and O's and the way this coaching matchup works? What does this team do well? What does that team do well? So I think you were right to think that this was a great spot for the 49ers and a really bad one for the Bears.
Yeah, and I think that the spot on Thursday for the Niners is
tougher.
A little bit tougher.
Tougher.
Especially, you know, considering the way the Rams looked on Sunday and the fact that you might be going with Taylor and Keyshawn Vaughn and Abanaconda.
Abanaconda.
Yeah.
Abanaconda. No, yeah. Just all you got to do is think Sir Mix-a-Lot, you'll never forget again.
That's right.
Right. Abanaconda don't want none unless he's active, hon.
We did that. And he will be active, I bet, if Garendo's out.
Yeah, we'll see. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. All right. Kittle says lack of urgency. Debo says, I'm playing fine, but you have to give me the ball. You can react to any of that. 888-957-957. It's Victory Monday. We're taking your calls all day on Willard and Dibs.
Oh, yeah!
Ready, team? Watch out!
With a goal following the timeout. Purdy looking end zone, and he throws. Touchdown! Jawan Jennings.
You couldn't ask for a better start for the 49ers offense, especially the way that they got pummeled against Buffalo. They come out today. This is a really good Bears defense. They march right down the field and score a touchdown.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, taking calls on George Kittle saying lack of urgency. But now urgency. And you know what's also interesting, and we can get into this, 888-957-9570, we will go back to the phones. You and I might need to welcome the rest of our team into this conversation for a second, because you and I both, in chatting about this earlier today, one Mark Grandy and director of sports Lucas Alexander, you guys both seemed to be indicating that you came away from yesterday's game a little annoyed, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the basic idea was, well, if you can look like this, then where the hell has that been?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah, yesterday was awesome. It felt, as you guys already talked about, it felt like last year. It felt like the 2023 Niners, and it happened at a point where maybe other than the Green Bay game where you were without your quarterback, you've never been more injured than you were during that game. And you came out and looked like that. Where has that been all year, specifically in the losses to the Rams, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks?
My other sentiment, which I left out of the group chat, can we play the Bears every week?
Is that how this works?
I
Caleb checked, stinks, huh?
And no.
Boy. Not his problem.
Fight on.
Yeah,
it actually kind of is his problem.
I tell you what, Bo Nix is way better than Caleb Williams.
Yeah!
I know that. But anyway, no, like, how would you guys answer your own question? And you callers can weigh in on that. Do you think yesterday was about the 49ers playing better, or were they just playing the Bears?
Let's not forget, the Bears could have very easily beaten the Lions, should have beaten the Packers.
Sure.
Very, very close against the Vikings. All three really good teams. It's not a terrible football team by any stretch of the imagination. I thought it was the Niners who came out and just played an awesome game of football.
Okay.
And didn't they get Hail Mary'd by Washington as well?
They sure did.
Okay.
In fact, I'd argue that that was the game that cratered them.
Yeah.
The Bears were 4-2. I don't know if that was their seventh game that made them 4-3, or if it was the game that made them 4-4 or whatever. But the point is,
it was the game that made them 4-3.
Okay.
Off
so
the bye.
They're 4-2. And this is the big matchup of number one pick versus number two pick. And Washington's been humming. And so this is a big time matchup. And the Bears go in there, it turns into a rock fight, and the Bears are gonna win the game. And then Jaden Daniels throws the Hail Mary to Noah Brown, and he catches it, and it killed the Bears. It literally killed them. They have not won a football game since. And I would say for a period of the next 2 to 3 weeks, they were wearing that loss. It wasn't a Super Bowl hangover. It was a Hail Mary hangover. It was a hailover. And they just could not get up off the mat. And then they started to get up off the mat again. And they had some better performances. Grandy just sort of indicated those. But they were still losses. You know, it's kind of like the whole Bryce Young conversation right now. It's like, ooh, Bryce Young is way better. Sure.
Compared to what he was.
Correct.
Right.
Still losing just about every week.
Yeah.
But better. But what does that make you? Because if you want to give people points for close losses, well, then the Niners get a bunch. Like, if we want, right? We've been doing that all year.
I guess.
If you, like, I've heard a lot of people have not liked it when I say, oh, but, right? You outplayed the Rams. You outplayed the Cardinals. You outplayed the Seahawks. But you lost.
They have 4-1 score losses.
You found.
That's not a lot.
No, but you found a way to lose those games.
Right.
And the Bears do the same thing. The Bears, my God, the Bears are the best team at it in the NFL, if you ask me.
They have 6-1 score losses.
But look at how they lost them. They, too, can do what the Niners fans have done, where you're like, you've got to be kidding me with what you did at the end of those games. The Bears are even worse. What they did on Thanksgiving morning was absolutely...
Yeah, it was a fireable offense.
It's the most inexcusable thing I've watched any NFL team do all year, and it's not close.
Even beyond that, and I don't want to get too deep in the Bears, but when they did get Hail Mary'd by Washington, they lost 18-15. The next 2 weeks, they didn't score a touchdown.
Correct. They were completely hungover. Wow. They were like, it zapped them of their confidence, of their positive everything. It killed them. And then they got it back, but they still can't win a game.
Right.
Still can't quite win a game.
No, and they can't really score. And to Grandy's point, though, about the kind of team they are, even though they're 4-9, their point differential is minus 24, which a minus 24 point differential would indicate that you should be probably 6-7, maybe 5-8, but yet they are 4-9. And just one final note about Kansas City, they've scored the same amount of points as the Niners this year.
Correct.
And they have 12 wins.
I think their last four wins, three of them, they didn't score 20 points.
Right. Have they scored 30 more than once this year?
I don't think so. Like, even their two double-digit wins, they didn't score 30.
Yeah, twice. Carolina and Tampa.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So, yeah, but the Chiefs make winning plays. Their defense is much better. And, sorry for upsetting you, they have had a lot of breaks. They've had a lot of breaks.
Say it.
When you're blocking short field goals to win games, when you're banging field goals in off of the bar, when the Raiders are too stupid to send their field goal unit onto the field, like, you can be like, well, they make winning plays. Well,
they do.
Okay. I it's not a winning play to just have the other coach not send their field goal unit out. That's not a winning play. That's a stupid break by the other team. But they've had a lot of that.
They have 10 one-score victories.
Yeah,
10.
It's like
their only blowouts, the Niners.
Niners and the Saints. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
but I wrote it last night. It's been the most annoying season of any team I've ever seen in the history of sports. Unless you're rooting for them. Unless you're a fan of them. You think it's hysterical. But it's very annoying. It's like, I don't mind other teams being good.
Well, last night's a perfect example.
You've won half your games when it looked like you didn't win.
They do all the good things, and Mahomes with a great conversion on third down. It's like, okay, this guy's special. And then the kicker doinks it in.
And don't forget what the other kicker did.
Yeah.
Cameron Dicker commits the penalty on the kickoff by not booting it to the 20-yard line so that Mahomes for the game-winning drive is practically
at
midfield to start the game. I mean, just...
And we'll get into Grandy's grades tomorrow because Jake Moody did the same thing. But in that spot, and I'll defend it now and maybe I'll change my tune tomorrow, but I think they were already up 24-0 at that spot. So maybe he was just, you know, trying to see if he could do it, experiment with it.
What does that mean, try to see if he could do it?
Well, you don't want to do that in a close game and give the other team the ball at the 40, but when you're comfortably ahead, then you can maybe take that chance and see if you can't hit that line drive kick.
Got it.
In a close game, it's better to do the safe thing and just boot it in the end zone.
I don't know why they don't just do it on every... What I see, kick it into the end zone. If the dummy wants to bring it out, he's going to get stopped short of the 30 90% of the time. It's a bad bet to return a kick if it is caught in the end zone. Just kick it there every time. If it's snowing, I understand you can't get it there.
Right.
But like, dude, you got the ball to the 20 in the snow. You can't get the ball into the 20 in the Santa Clara?
if you can kick it between the 20 and the goal line, that gives you a big advantage as far as, you know, making the returner catch it and find it then bring it out.
Well, if you can make it bouncy. I think that's idea is to make it bouncy. You don't want to kick it high and have it land on the 18.
No.
But, yeah, you want to see if it'll make a funny bounce. Anyway, let's go to Pat in Foster City. Glad you're with us today. Taking your calls, 888-957-9570. Hi, Pat. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, real quick, you know, I think the local media and 95.7 The Game was right in there with us back in August was saying, you know, probably the biggest challenge the Niners are going to have is taking games seriously and not just mailing it in and saying we'll be in the playoffs and everything will be fine. And you guys, I say you guys in general, the station has been saying that since August. And it seems like maybe what Kittle said is kind of bringing some of that out. Maybe that is a little bit of that attitude. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I thought if you look at sort of motivation of the team and then you look at injuries, you can see the Niners started out with some injury issues, not a disaster, but not good either. And then it just got worse and worse and worse. But maybe at the same time, the motivation started to turn around maybe a couple weeks ago, maybe not just against the Bears. But, you know, when you're playing Green Bay in Green Bay and you're playing Buffalo in Buffalo and you got injury problems, motivation is probably not going to have you win those games alone. But when you play the Bears, you got injury problems and you got motivation on your side, that's a game you can win. And I think if you look at the early part of the season, you know, the Niners, when they had some injury problems, but not disaster, and they probably had some motivation issues, you know, you saw the team up and down. They lost some games they should have won. They won some games maybe they shouldn't. They were okay. They weren't great, but they were hanging in there. It wasn't until they started to really get against some of these better teams, and more injuries and lack of motivation, that's when you started to see a problem. But now I see that motivation maybe is back in their camp. But, you know, is it going to be good enough to get them by teams like, you know, the Rams and some of the other teams? You know, we'll see how that works out. But we'll find I think out. That's how I look at it. Yeah.
Yeah, Pat, it's a good call.
I disagree with him about
which part?
The early part of the season I don't think was motivation. And I'm thinking about the Ram game where you were completely in control of that game.
Totally.
You march down, you're up by 7, and you get down to the 37-yard line. Jake Moody, 55-yarder, no good. And then next play, 50-yard bomb on top of Charvarius Ward. Now, he was probably highly motivated. He got beat by 2-2, and then they go and they score a touchdown, and next thing you know, you cough it up again, and you lose the game.
Yep.
I don't think that they lost those early games because they weren't motivated. They blew two big leads because they weren't buttoned up.
Well, yeah, the Rams game in particular to me is just an execution game. And that doesn't mean you can't spotlight coaches if you want. I mean, Kyle Shanahan is in charge of putting together some attention to the special teams. And that was the start of the special teams disasters for the 49ers season. You know, their special teams was fine against the Jets in the opener. Jake Moody was the NFL special teams player of the week after that game against the Jets. And then against the Rams, they were a mess. There was the kick return. There was the missed field goal. There were so many things in that game. Obviously, there was the Ronnie Bell drop also.
Yep.
So there were 1,000 chances for them to just execute plays and close that game out. They didn't do it. It's also week 2. You can get over that. You can get by. I'm with you, but my point about, and I don't use the word motivation, I think everybody's motivated. I just think the 49ers, until Geno Smith's drive 3 weeks ago, I don't think the 49ers had a true, authentic fear of the NFC. It doesn't mean that they didn't think the Lions were good. Everybody knew that. The Packers. But the Rams, Cardinals, and Seahawks. I don't think the 49ers, with what all the success that they've had in the regular season in recent years, I don't think that they had an authentic, true fear of the NFC West. And that led to them sort of not necessarily having what George Kittle refers to there as like the correct sense of desperation and urgency. And after the last handful of years, again, without excusing it, it doesn't surprise me. I understand where it comes from.
It comes from a place of weakness.
You can think that.
And I do.
I think it comes from a human place.
Well,
like a very, very normal human reaction to how life flows.
Well,
when you conquer something over and over, You're not going to have always the most authentic fear of it the next time around.
Well, you need to have the most authentic focus about it, and that's ultimately
that's their job,
in
sure.
the NFL. And, you know, we talked about this last year with the Warriors where they went in to a couple of games where they didn't have anybody. They played with the baby dubs, and they went out and they won basketball games because they played free and clear, but that's one of 82. In the NFL, and I'm looking at it again, the first time against the Rams, which is why I have, and I hope that they have an equal fear of the Rams this time, because you lost to DeMarcus Robinson, Jordan Whittington, Colby Parkinson, and Tutu Atwell. Nice little player, pretty fast. Kyren Williams played then, and he'll play again, but you lost to a Ram team that was full of nobodies. So if that really led to the reason why you blew that game, and I don't believe that it did, and just looking at the play-by-play again, you had a Mitch Wishnowsky punt, which was a 5-yard net because you couldn't cover it. I mentioned Mooney Ward giving up a 50-yard pass play, and you had a PI from Devondre Campbell, the Ronnie Bell drop, all the rest of it. That, to me, doesn't come down to having a proper fear or not. You just got to execute late in games.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.